All right, hello everyone. Welcome to SNV. My name is Julian. I'm leading a project here at SNV on the topic of disinformation and how to strengthen our digital public sphere. We're very happy to have Serge Abitbol here with us tonight. We'll just jump right into it. Europe has been struggling with online disinformation, with hate speech, with maliciously amplified political campaigns or mass opinions for a while now. And this is not necessarily a new problem, disinformation. It's been around since the printing press and TV. But the way that we experience it online is different. The way that it's algorithmically curated and spread widely, but also at the same time to a very fragmented audience, that is different. So for a long time, the reaction to that was that we let platforms such as Google, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, but also smaller platforms handle that on their own by themselves. That view has changed in the last couple of months and years, that it's really not about a debate anymore about whether we need rules for social media, but really how do we do that? And that's part of the reason why we're here tonight. So just a very quick rundown of what's already out there, the efforts that are there. Germany, here in Germany, the federal states are trying to establish some sort of oversight mechanism of social media platforms. We also have a fairly well-known law called the Network Enforcement Act, NetzDG, which deals with hate speech and content that is illegal under German law. The UK, for example, has a very wide-ranging white paper on online harms, ranging from revenge porn to disinformation to terrorist content, so very broad in scope. In the US, there's several bills talking about political ads, transparency, and on the EU level, there's the voluntary code of practice against disinformation, which is a self-regulatory mechanism. But now there's also developments in France, and that's the topic of tonight's debate. And France is a little bit of a special case because there was an expert group in France of 10 people that wrote a report, and what's special about it is that they had the inside look at Facebook's content moderation practices, and they made some recommendation based off of that. So I will not go into a lot of detail here because we have the experts sitting right next to me, but the very basic premise, just to contextualize it, is the proposal of a co-regulatory body that is not in place to regulate specific pieces of content and make rules to delete them, but it is a body that's supposed to check the content moderation processes of the companies. So this is very different from the German NetzDG, which makes the rules for deletion, and it's also very different from the EU's code of practice, which is self-regulatory. So that's what we want to talk about, what I want to talk about tonight. And I'm very happy to have Serge with us here tonight. He was one of the experts of the group that I was just talking about. He led this so-called Facebook mission based on his many talents and a lot of professional expertise. He's a researcher. He's a often cited computer scientist at France's National Institute for Research in Computer Science and Automation. He's also an advocate. He's an activist for ethical data management. And in a way, he's also a regulator because you are on the board of, on the executive board of ARCEP, the French independent agency for regulating telecommunications. So that's somewhat similar to the US Federal Communications Commission and somewhat similar to Germany's Bundesnetzagentur, the Federal Network Agency. So Serge has a lot of experience from a lot of different perspectives. And that's kind of what I want to tap into tonight and ask you to share these perspectives with us. But before we do that, I would also like to give you the chance to introduce yourself. Tell us what background you brought to this mission and how you approached it. So just so you can introduce yourself to the guests that we have tonight.
Thank you, Julian. So a bit of background. So first of all, I'm a computer scientist. I'm a researcher in computer science. And of course, everything that I'm going to say is biased by that. And also, I've been more and more aware. So I should start by that. I'm a strong believer in technology. But at the same time, I realize that the technology sometimes can be harmful. So I'm not like a blind believer. I'm a believer that believes that you should work and we should fight to build the world we like with this technology and not let the technology drive us anywhere. This said, when working with this on this topic for hate speech in social media, you immediately run into a conflict. And the conflict is very clear. It's on one hand, it's freedom of speech. On the other hand, is illegal material, illegal content, content that can be harmful. And of course, it's easy to look at one side and say, well, you know, freedom of speech is a religion, and in some countries, it is a religion. And on the other hand, it's easy to say, well, the government should control everything, and we get rid of the problem. I tend to believe that it's a more complicated issue that has to be settled and that will require fight from the civil society. It's not going to be given, okay? So essentially, I'm starting with a conclusion. The conclusion is like together we have to fight to make this happen. Now, this said, I want to come back to this idea that it's not all positive or not all negative. For a number of people, these social medias is the devil. And Facebook is the devil. Twitter is the devil. Okay. Personally, I don't think so. Okay. Personally, I have an account on Facebook and very happy to meet my friend with Facebook. Like, you know, I don't know how many people. I also realized that Facebook is the only means, and these social medias in general, is the only means for some people to be heard, some people to express themselves. We come from a civilization, from a culture where only the powerful people could say something in the radio, in TV, in newspapers. With social media, you can be the head of a small association, you can be a group of people in a suburb, nobody's heard of you, and you find a good idea, and it spreads. Okay. So I strongly believe that this is a great achievement of social media, together with the fact that I can remain, I've spent many years in the US, I can remain, you know, in touch with my friends over there, I can meet new people. So I'm a strong believer in social medias. That's point one. Point two, I cannot agree with what you find there sometimes. Okay? I cannot agree to see terrorists using social medias. I cannot get used to the idea that pedophiles use social media and so on. So I cannot accept the fact that a kid is with his friends, goes on social media, and suddenly is harassed, aggressed, and his life becomes difficult. So the question is that there is a solution to say, well, let's get rid of social media. I mean, some of my friends, I'm sure you have friends who say, well, I'm sick of it, I go out. Personally, I think these are good things that we should fight for. Okay, now the context of the Mission Facebook. At one point, our president, Emmanuel Macron, met with Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, and they discussed, they chatted, probably had a glass of wine or two, and they decided that there was a problem with social media. They agreed there was a problem with social media, and Mark Zuckerberg said, yes, okay, we should fix that together instead of fighting each other. Let's fix it together. And I'm going to open my company to a team of people from your administration. So friends put together a group of people. It's interesting to see who. They are computer scientists. You have to understand the technology. They are lawyers, because a lot of it is how do you have the law respected on the internet. Internet cannot be a space, cyberspace, that was, that's good for the old days. Some people still believe in it. We don't. I don't. Where everything is permitted. And there were also representatives from the police, for instance, that were fighting over cyber criminality and so on. So 10 people, and Facebook said, we are open, you can ask all the questions you want, you can go wherever you like, you can get all the data you like. Okay, so that's the story. In fact, it was not all that easy. It took us a while to get in the company. At the beginning, we decided that unlike the French in general, we're not going to contradict everything, we're just going to absorb. So we forced ourselves not to to be aggressive, which is difficult for French people. Parisians, can you believe that? We did that for a month, and then after a month, we started stressing it a bit, challenging them, but we had established some kind of relationship with them. Of course, they gave us the official story. The official story is that they have a moderation center where all the moderators are very happy, and it was kind of funny because one day we would go to Barcelona, visit a moderation center with very happy moderators, and then we would open the New York Times, and there was like this horrible story about moderators in Phoenix. So, you know, where is the truth? We got convinced after a while that Facebook was really, really trying hard to fix the problem. Not for some obvious reasons. I mean, this can damage their business. So that was the idea. We got most of the information. Sometimes we had to insist a little bit. It was only 3 months. We were not like 1,000 people, so we couldn't enter the code, for instance. But basically, they opened the process, they showed us how they work, and I think we got a pretty good idea of how they work. That was the end of phase one. And then we sit together, and pretty quickly, because the government was insisting that our report go out quite fast, we put together this report where we actually came up with new way of doing moderation. So before I tell you what it is, I want to tell you what I think doesn't work. So first of all, there is one thing in moderation, in regulating these networks, these social media, that's very important, and I'm not going to talk about that, but I think it's actually the critical point. So you know, be aware that I'm going to be missing the main point. It's education. I think we have to educate people how to use these social medias. And that's very important. And it's not because I'm not going to talk about that, because I'm going to talk about it from the point of view of the regulator. But it's not because I'm going to miss that point that I don't think it's important. Point one, not discussed in this talk, education. Now, what else can you do? So first, there is the idea that the social medias will self-regulate. This is a story that we have been told since the beginning of the social medias. They are the good guys, don't do evil, okay? They are the good guys, and they're going to fix the problems. I think they've proved that that doesn't work, okay? That doesn't work for a number of reasons. I don't want to go into the details, basically because they have no external look at what they're doing. I think fundamentally, even if they were doing, and they are very far from that, even if they were doing perfectly well their job, these are two issues. First, who defines perfectly well? And definition is very important because this is defining our society in a way. We're living in this with these things. I mean, I don't know, we are all the time looking at it. We get information from them. We connect with people with them. Is it the role of a private company that has not been elected, that is not, you know, representing the people? Is it the role of a company to define our society? The answer is not. So even if they were perfect, and they're very far from perfection, because it's very difficult, that's also one point. It's not easy, okay? Even if they were excellent, there are good reasons why society should not accept that a private company define what the society should be. So that's, you know, self-regulation, in my opinion, and I think they've proved it, doesn't work. An alternative would be a extremely powerful government deciding everything. It could even be worse, in my opinion. Could even be worse to have a government deciding what's true, what's not true, what you can say, what you cannot say. I mean, you know, that is the end of democracy in a way. So this said, what can you do? If you rule out these two solutions, in a way, you know, our president put it a bit too simply, in my opinion, as on one hand you have free, the American way, you know, total liberalism, and the other way you have the Chinese or Russian, which is a totalitarian solution. We have to design a European solution. I would be a bit more careful, because this solution would also satisfy countries in South America. It would satisfy many countries in the world that are not Europe. But Europe can lead the way in somehow the same way the Europe led the way for GDPR. That was a bit our idea, and we wanted to participate in that. Okay, so let's get into a bit the moderation we think. The regulation is performed together by the platform and a regulator. So, first of all, the platform has to be completely transparent. At the moment, they are not. They publish things. You can't verify that they're doing this or that. That changes all the time. It's very difficult for an outsider to know what's going on. You can observe. Sometimes you can be surprised. Was this a mistake, or is it something that's intended? So transparency is really critical. The second point is, together, the regulator and the platform set up some objectives. Say, well, this is what we want to do. And this can change regularly. Why does it have to change regularly? These social media are extremely agile. They change all the time. I mean, just a parenthesis, I had a PhD student who was working on the social media and did a study of Facebook. I have nothing in particular about Facebook, but that just happens. And Facebook changed the privacy policy 3 times during her study, which for researcher is, you know, you're studying a moving object, it's impossible. Okay? So transparency and discussion together with the regulator about objectives. So the objectives are objectives on statistics. The regulator doesn't want, and that's what Julian mentioned, it's very important that the regulator doesn't work at the content level. So this content is no good. Why is it so? Because the fact that the content is good or not is low. We have a legal system. You have a legal system in Germany. We have a legal system in France. Actually, not the same. But we have legal system that are defending values, and only the law can decide whether something is valid or not. Now, what the regulator could decide with a platform is, for instance, the following. When a content is obviously wrong, take it out. And I'm not saying take it out in a week or in a day. You know, a content that has been viewed in an hour by 100,000 people, what good does it do to me if it's removed after 23 hours and 59 minutes? Or 6 days and something. If it's obviously wrong, the platform, as soon as the platform knows about the harm that the content may cause, should remove it, should do the best. Of course, it's not possible to remove it immediately, and you understand that there is this millions of content arriving every second, but at least the platform should work hard and put the means to do it. So we're talking about obligations of action to get the best results, completely adopting it all the time. So you put together the objectives, and the regulator should have the means to evaluate the results. Not in the situation where we are now, where we don't really know what's going on there. I mean, this is something that's defining our society more and more. And you know, governments look at that and say, oh, yes, that's interesting. And, you know, maybe I don't like that, but you know, that's tell you, well, that's a corporate secret. No, it's not corporate secret. It's important for society. The regulator should have access to the information, should be able to do a very serious evaluation. And in the case the platform does not properly act to solve the issue, then in that case, should be able to punish. And punishment, you can think of whatever you like, heavy penalties, blocking the thing. We have to, there is something we have to all realize. It's very easy to put the light on one platform and say, well, you're not doing correctly because this particular content has been has stayed for too long. Yes, but maybe they did very well on the rest. And what do you do about the other, the bad guys? I mean, Twitter, to change the target. Twitter has difficulties because they're not as rich as Google or Facebook, and they're not trying hard enough. But with their means, they could do better if you set together objective with them. Okay. Now, there are other platforms that are much, much worse. I mean, VKontakt, to name them. All the fascists in France, when they got problems with the big platforms, moved to VKontakt, and they moved their thing. And now, if you want to, you know, basically, if you want to signal that a particular content is illegal, to VKontakt, be my guest. I mean, even the people in charge of cyber criminality in France don't have a phone number to call. They can send email that just are ignored. So again, the question is, do we want to fix the problems? And to fix the problems, you sit down with the platform and you say, this is a problem, you should, you know, what do you propose? And let's discuss, what can you do about it? Can you make something better? And, you know, can you improve the situation? And that's what we want. And if you don't, I would have no problem if, you know, some of the platforms are closed.
So you mentioned some of the things that this body should do. So you said it should have access to the companies. There should be transparency towards the regulator.
The means to evaluate what's going on.
That's what I was wondering about. What can you specify that? Like, what are the powers that this body, in your view, would have in order to be able to evaluate properly?
It's an excellent question, and that's what the regulator will have to discuss with the platform, because it changes all the time. I can give you an example, okay? I can give you an example. For me, one of the problems of these social medias is not that they take a content and put it on the web. Everybody does that. It's that suddenly they take a content and start pushing it on the web.
Right.
So they keep saying, well, we're just offering content that other people we're not editors. Yes, for me, you are an editor. When you decide that this content is going to be pushed to a million people, you are an editor. Even when you decide that this content, you know, when you show me the list on Twitter, and you decide this one is on top and this one is second, basically we all know that we're going to read the first ones. We're never going to go to the end of the line, okay? So, of the list. So, you are editing. You're editing the web, maybe, but you're editing, okay? So this gives you a responsibility, and to come back to your question, how do you push content? What makes you prefer one to another?
Yeah.
If you look at that, these companies change that all the time. And, I mean, if this talk is not about business, but for business it's very difficult because they change some policy and suddenly your content disappears and you stop doing business. I mean, they can basically get you out of business by basically pushing you out of the first pages. Okay.
And so this authority that you propose in the report, would it also be helpful to look at these algorithms that push stuff to the top and leave out other things? Or is that something that you would say, well, that's the company's thing, or is it something that the company should decide with the regulator again?
Julian, I'll ask you a question. Do you think that deciding that something is pushed is important for the can be part of harming people.
Yeah, I think so.
Then the regulator should have access to that. I mean, you know, the question is very simple. And of course, that would mean that the regulator has the means to also protect this information, because this information is business secret and so on. But we do that all the time. As you said, I'm regulator of the telecom in France. We get all the time information about the telecom companies that I'm totally not allowed to deliver to you or to other people. This is covered by the business secret. Perfect. But if you think that this is important for the impact of the contents, yes, the regulator should have the means to do that.
Okay. And this decision of what can be important or what can be harmful, who would make that in your view? Because what I'm trying to get at is also that in your report, you envision a very large role for civil society and for academia, ideally. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how they would also interact with these regulator and with the companies. Why do you think this role is important, and who gets to decide what should be covered?
So this is back to something I said at the beginning. It's not sufficient that you do a good job. Mm-hmm. It's also critical that you be accepted. And I mean accepted by the citizens. Because essentially, this is, again, shaping our society, and citizens should feel comfortable about it. Now, this said, that means that this cannot be a business between platforms and governance, or platforms and regulator. That's important that there is this discussion between the platform and the regulator to set up the objectives. But the objectives are for the benefit of this society. So the society should be involved in the process. Now, who in the society? Of course, not everybody, not every citizen has the time to go and look. So associations. Associations at large should be really involved in the process. But of course, this is not easy, because associations tend to have biases, like citizens. Okay, so if you have an association for defense of the civil rights, you're going to look at freedom of speech as the grail and not, and be obsessed by that, which is okay, because this is part of the picture. Yes. And if you are an association for the defense of the gay people or for the defense of the Muslims or the Jews, then you're going to be obsessed, and that's your business, and that's correct, by, prohibiting any kind of racism or sexism or whatever on the internet. So all these associations should sit and together get defined. Because essentially what I want to get to is what you're talking about is you're talking about the definition of what the world we want to live in. And that is what we're talking about. So it's not a simple business, yeah, but it's a very serious one. Now, you also mentioned researchers. And that's also very, very essential. And now we're going to get a little bit in the technology. So before I get to the researchers, I want to get a little bit into a digression. How do you detect that the content is bad? How do you detect that the content should be observed and perhaps blocked? First thing is by notification. So now if you go to several social media and you see some content that you think is harmful or should not be tolerated, you can click and say it shouldn't be tolerated. You can report it to the German authority with an SDG. And that's one flow of information to the platform. Another flow of information is algorithms. Now, algorithms basically look at the content and they detect harmful content in real time. Now, it's very, very difficult to get, and that's an information that we couldn't get from Facebook, it's very difficult to get an appreciation of the quality of both. Now, I can tell you one thing, which is the that was told, that someone told me off the record, an engineer not from Facebook, which is at the moment the algorithms they run are actually better than human being, than standard human being for notification. Why? It's because, you know, you look at your screen, you are into something, you see a content, it irritates you, you report it. You know, like Germany beat France in soccer. Yeah, well, this is unacceptable, you know. Germany should not beat France in soccer. So I'm going to report that this is hateful. You know, you laugh. But if I start saying, well, the French team was really very bad, do you still say, I mean, let's put it the other way, the German team was stinking? I'm sure people will report that as hate speech. Okay. Now, reports by web users of hate speech or actually fake news are actually reasonably bad. It's okay. These people are not lawyers. They don't know the law. They just report and they vote with their guts, right? An algorithm has less bias. So it's making less mistakes from that point of view. It has also the advantage to be able to detect very early the harm of a message, basically before it can spread. This said, this works very well for some content. For instance, pedopornography or terrorism is rather well detected with algorithms. Hate speech, the quality is better than a human. I should say, it's not as bad as a human, because basically it's a difficult task. So we have to be a bit more precise there. There is a zone that you would call obviously this shouldn't be accepted. Obviously this is illegal, because it's a, you know, I don't want to give you examples, you can think of plenty. Okay. But then there is a gray zone. And I'll give you just an example of that. There was one content that, Facebook explained to us what were the rules they were using, and they showed us content. And there was one content, say, well, you know, what would you do about this content? So as a human being, I would say, no, I don't want to see that on the internet, but it's just me, okay? Doesn't count. Then I said Facebook, and then I analyzed the content by the rules they gave us, and I say, well, Facebook should block that. And then say, well, should this content legal by French law or not? And we had two lawyers, so we asked them, what do you think? And one lawyer would say, well, it's clearly against French law because of this and this and this law. Mm-hmm. And the other one said, well, I think it can be defended that it's not against French law because of this and that and that. And they start throwing each other common law, and after 10 minutes we stop them and say, well, you know, okay, what's the summary of your discussion? The summary of the discussion, this goes in front of a court and the judge decides. Right. It's the gray area is very big, and I can tell you other stories, and we all have stories of mistakes that this platform did, and it's difficult. So it's difficult for a human being, it's difficult for a lawyer, it's difficult for an algorithm. So the algorithm can work much faster, get better keeps improving, and that said, never don't expect perfection, and that's why the common belief is that once the algorithm has decided between code that this content should be blocked, then there is a human being behind. It's never blocked, to my knowledge. It's not blocked directly. There are exceptions, as I said, in a couple of cases, which is terrorism and pedopornography, because this is easier in a way. This leaves less room to appreciation. Now, let's come back to civil society. Now, once you do that, how do the algorithms work? Pretty much all the same. you have a machine learning algorithm that's learning from tons of cases. What's a case? It's content with annotation. A content, good. A content, bad. A content, blocked. A content, good. A content, blocked, and so on. So you train the algorithm, and then when you give it another content, it tries to find similarities, and based on these similarities that it cannot explain because it's machine learning, it says the content is blocked or not. So once you say that, you realize the importance of the training data. The quality of the result is basically going to be the quality of the training data. So who can get the training data? For the moment, Facebook. For the moment, Twitter. For the moment, Google, okay, the big guys. So first of all, it would be great if researchers can help. And here I mean researchers in law, philosophy, whatever, psychology. And then you start seeing a difficulty. The difficulty is that we're talking about culture, and the same things may be different in different contexts. I want also to mention another problem, which is this is for the big guys. How about the small guys? How about the small companies? Yeah. If you set up a law that's too strict, these small companies are basically going to be out of business very fast. So they won't be able to do it, essentially. So what can you do for these smaller companies? The first thing is you can decide that these training data sets are essentially public interest data that should be shared. This is an interest beyond the big companies. It's an interest for everything, for everybody. So it should be built together with the civil society and with researchers, and it should be accessible by the smaller companies. The other thing that we did in our report is we proposed three levels. We are very proud of that because it's original. You tell me if you like it or not. So the idea is that there are systemic platforms. Again, the big guys with millions of users and so on. Those, by definition, should be controlled by the moderator. By the regulator, sorry. So the regulator regulates the big companies. Under a certain threshold, you're not. That does not mean that this is open bar. There is a law. Okay, the law, I mean, we have laws in countries like France and Germany, and the law can punish a company that does not try to fix the problem. And in between, this is the originality, in between we said, well, in this area, we're going to assume a priori that you are good guys and you're not going to be regulated. Mm-hmm. But if you misbehave regularly, then in that case, the regulator can decide that you're going to be part of the regulation as well. Essentially, what we want to do is we want to avoid some platforms, VContact, for instance, not to name it, that is not so important in Europe, that would concentrate all the bad behavior. So after a certain level of bad behavior, even if your total number of users in Europe is below the threshold, the regulator says, too bad, guy, you're going to be moderated now.
Well, I think that's a great optimistic note to end on, to call for that push from research, from civil society, from national regulators to find a European solution to this. I want to thank you very much for laying out what that push could be. I think there are ideas on the table that we discussed today, so thank you very much to Serge.
It was my pleasure.
To all of you.